ready?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait. Is Red record? Oh, okay.
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Conley, and I'm here with Kay Abbott at her home in South Coast.
Catherine Abbott.
Okay. At her home in South Coast Falls, New York, on January 11th, 2006. When and where were you born?
Grants Falls, September 8, 1917.
You went to high school in South Coast Falls?
South Coast Falls,
mm-hmm. And you became a nurse right after high school?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What branch of service were you a nurse for?
United States Army and then the United States Air Force. So became Air Force after the Army.
What made you decide to want to be a nurse?
Well, I don't know. I just wanted to do something. I couldn't go to, we didn't have enough money to go to graduate school. I wanted to be a school teacher. And so we had a large family. We didn't have that much money. So we didn't have, money? The loans. We didn't have student loans then. So someone suggested I would like nursing. So I did apply and I went to Memorial Hospital in Albany for 3 years service.
And what made you decide to be a nurse in the Army?
Oh, I think a friend of mine, a classmate, talked me into it. So we decided to go in, and after we heard about the Air Evacuation Squadron, School of Air Evacuation, we applied for that once we had our basic training. And that worked fine. Then we went overseas. Okay. And what else do I know right now?
How long were you at the school?
What school? A nursing school?
The nursing for the Army.
Oh, that was just about 2 months.
2 months?
It was just basic. We went to basic training originally, and then this was something new that they added. Mm-hmm. And it was School of Air Evacuation. Mm-hmm. And I think it was 6 to 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. In Bowmanfield, Kentucky at the time.
And that was after the war had already started that you did?
Oh, yeah. This was 1944 and 45, uh-huh. I'm sorry. And I was discharged in February 1946.
When you heard about Pearl Harbor and when the U.S. first entered the war, did you think that you were going to join the Army? Or?
No, I had no idea. I was just as shocked as the rest of the world was and the people. And no, it never entered my mind at the time. And my five brothers went in service, and I thought, as I say, my classmate talked me into going in, and you know, I thought it was a good idea. I did the training, I was graduated by that time.
Where did you say your first base was?
You mean United States or overseas?
United States.
That was in Mitchell Field, Long Island. I had basic training. Mm-hmm. And they transferred me to, you have to remember that? Oh, Richmond, Virginia. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for just a regular nurse of the Army Corps. They had patients, well, they built temporary basic wards. And you went from one ward to another outside because it was just a barracks type thing. And that's when I applied for School of Air Evacuation.
What were some of the islands that you flew to?
Hawaii. Johnson Island, that's a small island. Guadalcanal, Guam, Saipan, Tarawa, Biak, Lady in the Philippines, and Okinawa.
when you flew, did you stop directly at the islands, or would you stop on the Navy hospital ships?
No, this was just island hopping with our planes. We had nothing to do with the Navy or the ships. They had their own Navy Nurse Corps.
How often would you go out on flights?
Well, it all depended on the patients. I mean, how the war was going. So I can't really tell you that because it varied. But we were not waiting very long, really. We shuttled from island to island and were transferred from nurse to nurse, as you would, in the wards, shifts. So we did fly day and night. But there's only one nurse and one medical technician aboard. And they say we shuttled and we just changed planes and we rested until we were called again. So it was just something, I don't know, we just kept things going.
Would you ever have to do any overnight stays on islands? Or?
Oh yes, many times. And we flew day and night. So as I say, it all depended on how the war was going. And getting the patients ready to be transferred.
Did you find it to be hectic? Like, very fast paced?
No, not really. We had a few bumps and sometimes something's wrong with the plane, we had to go back and change all the patients and have them moved into the new plane. But that didn't bother me. I mean, they were pretty good because they did have their patients and they tried to have the safest planes for us. As I say, they're just cargo.
So were the planes specially marked on the outside?
No, they were just Air Force.
Were you ever scared of like enemy flyers?
No. They had fighter pilots on call or on the alert all the time because of that. But we weren't in the battle areas at all, except for Okinawa. We went in at midnight. We flew in from Guam or Saipan on the other islands for 8 hours and took off at midnight. And so we landed at 8 o'clock in the morning, daylight. And the first trip I had, our Navy was shelling Naha, the southern tip of Okinawa. And that's the closest I ever came. The Japs did go fly below the radar on the island of Biak as I was stationed there. I took off with a load of patients at 7 p.m. and they flew in at 7:30 p.m. while they were loading another plane. But they just dropped the one bomb and no one was really injured. They hit the Nisman's area. But that's the only time I came close to any actual fighting. They meant to make it pretty safe for the patients, at the time as they were transporting them.
How many patients could you fit on one plane?
28.
Mm-hmm. So these were really large planes?
They were four-motored cargo planes. As I say, we carried three tiers, so four in each tier on each side, so that's 24, and four patients on the center of the plane on the floor. All these were safety hooks, as you might say. So that was pretty safe. And then they had some patients that were ambulatory that could move, but they were on the top litters because the nurses probably couldn't reach them that far, so we treated the last three rows down. But we didn't have anything that was really, really bad because our planes weren't pressurized and no oxygen, so we couldn't go any higher than 9,000 or 10,000 feet. That was what you call primitive, because we were pioneers in air evacuation, and they had not just started, as I say. Today, I believe they're much improved. They have the helicopters. And,
How many nurses would be on one plane?
Oh, just one nurse and one medical technician.
Per plane?
Per plane, yeah.
How?
That's a good question.
So you had to attend to all, like, 28 people if you had 28 soldiers on the plane.
What were you saying?
You had to, like, take care of, like, all 28.
Oh, yes, yeah, all 28. And, as I say, they weren't really critical because we had nothing really that they were that not that improved, and these were just transporting them and getting them home.
Would you and the doctor work with one patient at a time, or would you both go around and check on them, like, differently?
You mean aboard plane while we were traveling? We had no doctor.
Oh, there was
no doctor. No, just the nurse and the medical technician. And there was no one there. Everyone, we were as cargo planes. All the way back was nothing but space. And that's where we put the patients, on each side of the walls of the plane and down the center. And it was just the nurse and the technician, the medical technician. Yeah.
Where would you, when you went to the islands to pick up the wounded soldiers, where would you receive them?
Well, we were on call, and as the patients were being transferred, brought in by ambulance, we would be there to see that they're put on the plane and secure their litters to the walls of the plane. They had hooks and a certain snap to them to make sure they're safe.
Once you pick patients up, where would you bring them?
Well, from island to island. And as I say, we transferred one nurse, we take it over, we shuttled. So they were on the plane continuously until they got to Hawaii. And then I don't know what they did. They probably rested and been checked out, and then they take the long trip home by plane, also by plane.
So all the soldiers that you would pick up were wounded enough to the fact that they wouldn't be able to go back into battle?
Oh yes, this was definitely discharge.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We also had prisoners of war. Once the war was over, they were released. And I had a plane full of prisoners of war, 28. They were all ambulatory, walking around and all, but we had that one plane full.
Were they brought back to Hawaii?
Yes. Well, as I say, as we shuttled, we were brought back to Hawaii and probably to the States as soon as possible, I suppose, once they were checked out of the hospital.
Did you have the opportunity to make friends with any of the soldiers that you helped take care of?
No, no. There were too many different soldiers. You shuttled, you had the different 28 patients all the time, so not really. I don't remember any of them. I'm sure they wouldn't remember me because they also had different nurses and technicians all the time.
Were you always with the same technician when you were flying?
No. They were a pretty good group. They were really efficient. They were good crews. Good people to have aboard with you. You know.
When you were looking after them, how much could you treat them when they were on board? Just giving them pain medication?
Yes, mostly that. We had a tuberculosis patient that had was bleeding, coughing up blood, and he was only here sitting up on the one seat we had there. And usually most of it was pain. And like codeine, morphine were the only pain medication we carried, and then we had penicillin. We gave penicillin shots every 3 hours, and that was the only medication usually, because we had no facilities, you might say, for any medical treatments or anything aboard the plane. This was mostly for transport and then keeping them comfortable. Because I say, that was ancient. they were just starting out, and it was the best they could do. I believe today they must have, your helicopters, they must have everything more so than we did. Of course, it's quite a while ago. But did the job, we got them.
How long had you been active before they allowed you that break in Hawaii for?
Oh, I don't remember. I wasn't sick or weak or anything. It was just a lull in the war and the work. So I can't say that really.
By the extent of the wounded, did you get an idea of how bad the fighting was?
No. No, we didn't talk about it.
Was it hard for you to be away from home for that long?
No. I got to California once, and I called home, and I didn't realize it was a 3-hour difference. So by the time I got to a phone in California, it was 10 p.m. and I called home at 1 o'clock in the morning, and all I heard was, "Hello, how are you?" Everyone, because I didn't, as I say, at one right at the beginning, I didn't realize it was 1 3-hour difference.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't wait to get to the phone, and I say by the time I got to one, it was 10 o'clock, because there was a lineup for them. I'm sure it was 1 o'clock in the morning. We didn't have much of a conversation, but at least I said hello.
Was that the only time you got to talk to him during the war?
Yes. Because of, I think, close to the end of the war, because I finished there in, when did I come home? December 1945. And I went in January 1944. And I was overseas at the... Yeah, from January 1945.
When you were at the bases, what would you do to amuse yourself when you were not during a flight?
Not much. We read and go to the officers' club. We just sit around and talk, and there were dances occasionally. But that's about all. I did not see a movie. I didn't see any of the USO shows because we were flying different hours and never hit one. So I wasn't bored. We read and talked or visited, whatever. You keep busy doing something. And one day we took a duck out. You know, the big truck you drive into the water, into the ocean, and went swimming. Never realized we had sharks around. So we do crazy things. That's about all. I mean, it's, when you're young, you just think of something, walking or whatever an island had to offer, we tried. There wasn't much, as I say, not really. For a few years it goes.
Was there any islands that you enjoyed more than others when you had to stay there for a little while?
No, I really didn't think about it. We just took things as they came along and lived with it. Some were really very, very hot and humid, like Tarawa, Guadalcanal, and those places. But you did it, you get used to it. And it didn't do you any good to complain anyway. They didn't listen to you.
How did you hear about the victory in Europe when you were in the Pacific?
I don't remember. I remember them announcing the death of President Roosevelt. And the end of the war in the Pacific, we whooped it up after that. But I don't remember. Oh yes, they told me from home, not my brother. My brothers were coming home from Europe, and they were going to be sent to the Pacific, and by that time the war was over. Yeah.
Did you know about the atomic bomb before they dropped it, or was that a surprise to you too?
That was a surprise too, yeah. But they wouldn't tell us that. And we met the crew that dropped the first bomb, and they were the nervous wreck. It's something that, you know, was horrible. But we didn't know they were going in. No, I don't believe anyone did.
Do you remember what island that they took off of?
I believe it was Tinian. That was near Saipan. And all the B-19s flew off from there. And occasionally one wouldn't make it. And go in the ocean and find a big black smoke. It happened a couple of times, and I think that was the outfit that did drop the bomb. The B-29s, big bombers. Those were it. And it was on the whole, most of the pilots were nervous. It was nerve-wracking. Even the fighter, they say, the Japanese and the missile.
Are you glad that the atomic bomb was dropped instead of them invading Tokyo?
I never thought about that. No. I did go to Tokyo after the war was over for 5 days. But we saw the emperor's fish pond, the sacred carp, or goldfish that are about this big. Huge. But no, I didn't see. But the people themselves were nice, but you see, they did not fight the war or cause the war. And of course, our American soldiers were there at the time, so they behaved well. And then the normal people were, had nothing to do with war, you know, fighting it. Women and children and young boys. So the, when our wonderful waiter there at the hotel, he says, "Oh, big bird fly over, drop big bomb." He dropped big bird. They didn't know an airplane, apparently.
So the people, the civilians, just seem more relieved than anything, probably?
Oh, yes. Yeah, they're more, well, they were, they just accepted the loss of the war. But they're just like ordinary people. I mean, they just suffered during the war. Normal people, everyday people, were just as like we were. And they had nothing to do with it. They just had to put up with it.
How long were you still in the Pacific until you came home? How long were you still over in the Pacific before you came back home?
Oh, I came home in 1945. I forgot when I went over. Oh, I went over in 1944, December. I remember spending Christmas there. And it was maybe 9 months, 9, 10 months. 9, 10 months, I'm trying to figure out the time.
When you went back home, did things seem different to you, or changed at all?
No, just good to be home. I didn't go back to work for about 3 months, 4 months, but that was all right. Just relaxing.
Yeah. How do you think the war has influenced your life?
Never thought about it. I didn't. I went to, unless I added that to my pension. I worked for the VA hospital for 28 years, and I had 2-year service, like federal service for 30 years. And did well, pension-wise.
How did you get your air medal?
Oh, I had over 1,000 flying hours in the Pacific, yeah.
Who recommends you for those medals?
Well, they kept a record of the hours of flight. You automatically get it if you have over 1,000 flying hours in the combat zone.
Have you kept in contact with anyone that you met in the war?
Well, some of my flight nurses that were in my squadron, I think there's only 2 of us left. I just heard that one of them in Connecticut just died 3 days after Aunt Martha died. And there's one that's very sick in Washington, D.C. She's the one that had her daughter had the twin babies. And there's just a couple more, 2 or 3, 4 more. Of course, we're all up in age. You have to be at least 21 to be an RN. And I hear from them, and that's about it. As I say, there's not too many deaths. We're all old women. I hope you don't get a failure on this.
No. Do you have a memory that sticks out in your mind the most about the war?
No.
No.
I don't know. I just think back, but I wouldn't be very interesting to other people. But I can't think of any offhand. It was an experience. And I lived through it, and I enjoyed it, really. I mean, and doing something worthwhile.
So you're glad that you did it?
Oh, yes. Yeah. That was an experience, yes. Very much so. And I'm so glad it's improved, because it was really just basic. And now it's a really improved. You could tell by that from the news you get in Iraq and the country. For evacuation, you know, the patients, so you have the helicopters, and they're much more efficient and safer, I think.
Do you think it's important for teenagers like me to learn about World War II?
I think so, yes. It's part of history. As anything else, you know, from looking back at it and noticing all the improvements going on, how things in medicine improved, how the war, and what else to say? Life is improving. And it's changing, but it's improving. And yes, I think it should be part of the history. It is history.
Is there anything else that you'd like to talk about?
No, I was going to say I quit.
All right, thank you.
Hey, you're welcome, but I mean, I hope I have. Not too many of us. Let me see, I talked to 1, 2, 3.
But those cameras like that can
a little partner.
Yeah, I guess so. You girls are lucky, you got a beautiful. You find the one as I showed you on the sweater, it was the wings are beautiful.